To be talking about thoughts and awareness and identity and kind of diving into some themes around meditation in a way, but with the purpose of like, how is this related to creating my dream life, right? Like how is this connected to up-leveling myself, to getting rid of the gremlins or the limiting beliefs or the challenges and actually becoming the person I want to be. So we're going to cover all that. We're going to do some shares throughout the call. Some of the feedback that I've had on the surveys that I sent out was that you ladies really enjoy it when it's more interactive, when there's more sharing. The relatability is something that you all seem to really enjoy, just knowing that we're not in this alone. We're in this together. Like, you know, you're not uniquely struggling through the things that you may be facing, coming up against. So the camaraderie, the share, the cross sharing. So we're going to do a little bit more of that on this and future calls, certainly. So kind of toward the end, we're going to maybe hang out and just talk about this is up for me and let the group kind of give some feedback or ask some questions or offer up some support. So we're going to do that kind of toward the end and then do a takeaway. And I have some specific action items for you too. So, all right, that's an overview. Does anybody have any questions before I get started? Everyone can hear me. Trying to make sure this lighting doesn't make me look like a porcelain doll. Okay. All right. So introductions. Let's go ahead and round robin. I'll start. And your name, where you're at, and something you're grateful for, something that's going well. So I'm Fawn, and I am in Jalapa, Mexico, which I just crossed the 4-month mark, or I'm about to approach the 4-month mark of being here. I love it, obviously. It's become another home for me, for sure. So super grateful to still be here. And I guess that kind of ties into my gratitude, or very much so does. I'm so grateful to be here and to be now woven into the tapestry of this community and be living life in such a gorgeous, gorgeous place, mountains and ocean and river. And, you know, I've been camping a lot and really getting out into the jungle. And I woke up today in a palapa on the top of a mountain overlooking the ocean. And I'm really grateful for it. I'm not saying this to gloat or brag or anything like that. It's such severe, deep gratitude for every second that I'm able to be here. It's a lot of hard work to make this happen in my life. A lot of visualizations and a lot of the work we're going to talk about tonight. And so it's even more precious to me. I'm so, so elated. So at any rate, that's my grateful. That's what's going well. And let's go ahead and I will offer it up to, let's go to Sylvia. Would you be willing to do an introduction?
Sure.
Awesome.
Hi everyone. I'm Sylvia and, currently I'm in Salt Lake, but I was, in Phoenix for a month. It was kind of a getaway for me to kind of get away from the old normal things that I've had in my life that I'm trying to change. And so I did a work exchange on an organic farm and it was amazing. Totally loved it. Loved how open it was. And I don't know, the community was awesome. And with the farm experience, I also got to do a couple other fun things with the host, like learning to swing dance and to a Renaissance fair and yes. Participating, like reenacting in that. So that was pretty dang cool. So
awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. So it was a really cool opportunity. I went by myself. So it was just, I don't know, it was really cool kind of break from life and to kind of think through things and think through my feelings and my changing beliefs and things like that. So it was a really good, good thing for me. And so I'm grateful for that. Grateful for that, opportunity that I had and is that
awesome? Thanks for that share. Yeah. That's so exciting. I'm so proud of you. I might ask you some questions. I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but I might ask you some questions throughout this call just around like limiting beliefs that used to be there that you were able to work through and how you were able to be able to take that leap to go to Phoenix. Cause that's, yeah, it's an amazing, amazing step you took. So thank you for your introduction. Awesome. Let's go ahead and go to Patricia. Would you be willing to introduce yourself? Patricia?
Yes, sorry, I was on mute.
Awesome. That's okay.
Yes. Hi, I'm Patricia. I am located in Chicago. And something that I am grateful for, or that has been going well, is I picked up a new hobby. I was telling Vaughn about this. I'm a big, like, I guess, movie nerd in general. Particularly horror movies. I love Halloween, and I've just always been interested in like special effects makeup, but never really took the never really thought it was something that I could do. And then it just kind of dawned on me as one of those things where I was like, oh yeah, no, I can do that. All that I can,
yeah.
I could purchase the stuff and play around with it and learn. And so that's what I've been doing, and it's been super fun. I've been really enjoying myself and,
awesome.
Exploring that creative side of me a little bit more. And, yeah, so that's been a really positive thing these, last couple of weeks in particular.
Awesome. Yes. I love that. Good for you. New hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever, on topic, off topic of the call, but did you ever watch that show? I think it was called Face Off. It was one of those competition shows.
No, but I heard about that show, and I totally forgot it existed until you just said that. So I will definitely look that up.
Yeah, you gotta watch that.
Yes,
it's really it's so cool. Awesome, thanks for that share.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I see Saina just joined. Saina, we're doing introductions. Would you be willing to introduce yourself, name, location, and something you're grateful for, or something that's going well?
Sure. Hi, everyone. So my name is Sayana, and I'm from the area of New Haven, Connecticut. And something that I'm grateful for, I think I'm having more success with my kids. They seem to be listening to me more, so that's an encouragement for me this week.
Definitely. Yay. Thanks for that share. Yeah. I bet that's a good feeling. You can just kind of like ease up a little bit or just relax a little bit and things are, and
yeah.
Kids cooperate. Oh yeah. Yeah. I just spent a couple of days hanging out with five kids aging from 3 to 15, I think. And just being around, I love kiddos, but being around them, I'm like, I have no idea how you mothers do it. It's amazing. So big ups to you. Right. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for that. Go ahead and mute yourself. Kim, would you be willing to do an introduction?
Hi.
Hey.
I'm Kim Moore, and I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, actually. And one thing I'm grateful for, my kids. I have teenagers, 15, and she'll be 16 this year. My son is 16, he'll be 17. So very grateful for them.
Yep. Beautiful. Oh, that's awesome. They're fortunate to have a mama who's grateful for them.
Aww, thanks.
Yeah. All right, Cindy, I know that you're listening in at work, so I'm not sure if you're able to do a share and introduction. Go ahead and unmute yourself if you are. Awesome. Thank you.
My name is Cindy Nguyen. I'm from, actually originally from Mississippi, but I now live in Hollywood. And I am grateful for a lot of things. Where I'm staying at right now, it's beautiful. Grateful for this LA weather, even though it's raining. And I'm grateful for my boyfriend. You know, I was in a marriage, and so I feel like since my divorce, I feel like I had a second chance. Meeting someone, it was really difficult, like meeting someone. And so I feel like I've found someone who understands me and compliments me and is understanding. And, you know, no relationship is perfect, but I feel like, you know, learning from the last marriage, I've been able to like communicate better. So everything is a constant work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel really grateful for that.
Mm, Wow, amazing. Good for you. It sounds like you've been on quite the journey. I'm not sure how recent this was, but good for you for really, you know, being intentional, and it sounds like having high standards and finding somebody who you can co-create a really positive relationship with. That is certainly something to be grateful for. Yeah. Thanks for that share. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the introductions, ladies. And again, welcome to Kim and Cindy, who are new, and I'm super excited to have you in the tribe. I think total there's 23 or 27 of us now. But with schedules being schedules and time changes and kiddos and work and all sorts of things, it's sometimes our calls have, you know, 13 of us on there. Sometimes it's four, sometimes it's somewhere in the middle, but the group is large. The tribe is awesome. Everybody seems to be getting a lot out of it and really appreciating each other. There's a lot of, kind of positive feedback and positive crosstalk, in the responses I've been getting and the feedback I've been getting, that you all appreciate each other a lot. So thank you all for being here. It's so important and valuable to have each and every one of you here. Like, you all mean the world to me and to each other. So yay, sisterhood. Okay. So let's go ahead and do a shift into updates or shares, which I know some of you kind of updated and shared in your introduction, which is awesome. Anything that anybody would like to share with regard to what we've covered so far in the program, anything we've covered thematically related in any one-on-one coaching, if some of you are my one-on-one clients, and so it can be challenges or questions or fun. I really don't understand, like, what's going on in this part of the thing, or a celebration. And so any questions, any shares, and if you would like some support, or if you would like some feedback from the rest of the group, like, hey, has anybody ever experienced this thing? If you ever have, what did you do? I'm feeling kind of alone right now. So, you know, really leveraging and using the group just like we're hanging out in a living room. So I'm going to kind of back off of the, I guess, like 80% me talking and the rest of the time you guys talking. And I'm going to do my best to really shift into more of like a, I'm going to be teaching or talking half the time, but the rest of the time, I really want this to be interactive and you. So that being said, does anybody have any updates? Any updates or shares or questions? Sayana, yeah, go ahead.
So I have an update, and I'd like everybody's suggestions for a particular situation I have. So one is, I started my new job. I've told you about it, found at the new hospital.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, it's like Walt Disney of hospitals. I'm very happy.
Yay.
And like, things are going great work-wise, etc. And my what I wanted to some help with is I have a wonderful husband who's brilliant, who I respect as a person and also as a doctor. I think he does a lot of good in what he does. But my problem is that he's really bad with logistics, and I don't know if I'm making excuses for him or not, but so everything is sort of on my shoulders, or most things, and every time that comes up, it's just like a, you know, when the issue comes up, it just ends up being like a big, you know, argument and so on. So I just avoid it. I really don't know what to do. It seems unfair on one end. On the other end, it feels like choose your battles. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're feeling a lot of responsibility on your shoulders. And what is it that you would like to be different?
Well, for example, now I'm like finishing notes, and I just put the kids to bed before coming here. We both, you know, had a day of work, and I'm like, well, can you go put the kids to bed? And I have these notes to finish, you know? Well, I had a really long day. I'm tired. I'm gonna go lie down. It's just in the other rooms.
Okay. So some help, some sharing of the household responsibilities.
Okay. Yeah. But I also don't want it to be like a big like argument every day, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So ladies, I think Sayana, if I'm hearing you, you're opening the floor for some feedback or any suggestions or.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Ladies, does anybody want to offer anything up or dig into this a little bit with Sayana? Thoughts or suggestions? Okay. I'll hop in if anybody else has an idea or a thought, feel free to. Oh, yay. Who's this? So someone on the phone. Did I hear someone? Nope. Okay. Go ahead and raise your hand if anybody has any feedback. Just interrupt me. So Sayana, yes, this is, oh, Lisa does. Oh, hi Lisa. Yeah. Barely though. Are you? Hi.
Hi.
So nice to see your face. That's okay. Better. Okay. Awesome. Welcome.
Okay. Hi ladies. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay.
Had a hard time getting here. Sayana, I haven't met you. I'm Lisa. Hi. And having lived in a marriage myself and, you know, feeling the stretch of family life and married life, I think the only thing I would say to you is to ask for what you need. And then at least your partner has the opportunity to respond, you know.
Yeah.
And by not bringing things up, then really it doesn't give him the opportunity to support you.
Right.
And maybe if he knows that you need a little more support that way, he might be able to find the space within himself to provide that for you. So mm-hmm. I would encourage all of us to ask for what we need.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've, oh, sorry, Lisa, go ahead.
That's it.
Thank you so much for that. That's so crucial. Sayana, is that something that you've tried or something that you feel you've exercise?
So I've tried, but I think I've sort of not tried as much lately because it always brings up an argument, so I've just been avoiding it, I guess, lately. But mm-hmm. maybe I can find another way to ask. I'll try.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, I'm not remembering the exact term for this right now. If anybody else knows this, chime in. It's like communication sandwich or something like that, where bringing something. So there's like the thing that you want to talk about or the need you want to express, kind of like, you know, it's the core thing. But if you bring it up to somebody, they might immediately put their guard up or get defensive or think that you're saying that they're doing something wrong, right? So that wall goes up where the communication kind of just like stops and they wall it off. But there's this technique of starting the conversation out with a compliment or an appreciation, something that they're doing really well, something that you're really just thrilled about, like, thank you so much for contributing to the household in this way, or, you know, you're doing a really great job verbally supporting me in my transition, or, you know, what have you. So to communicate what they're doing well, and that kind of shifts the energy into this place of receptivity. And then from that place, you can then ask for what you need in a way that is related to how you two can support each other and do even better as a team. So I appreciate you so much for this. Thank you so much for this. You're doing great, you know, and we could be doing even better. I have this need. Would you be willing to help me meet it in this way? And then you finish it with the other piece of bread, so to speak, in the sandwich, which is, I want you to know I love you very, very much. And I, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just, it's psychologically and emotionally, it works, or it can work, right? Everybody's different. But does that make sense? Have you heard of this before? Make sense? Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I suggest, I think you're on mute, so I can't hear you, but.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah, especially with guys. Guys tend to, I don't know, like, I think we all do it. I don't want to be gender specific here, but when we get defensive as humans, it's just like the long and short of it. Yeah. When somebody comes at us with like, you know, hey, could you change this? Or could you do differently? Or like, you know, we interpret it, and we're going to get into this on the module on self-love actually, but we interpret it as like, I'm no good, or like I'm doing it wrong, right? And then it's like our survival mechanism is like, like stop.
Yeah,
it's a great question. Absolutely. Does anybody else have a suggestion or a share or even like a relatability to offer up to Sayana? Kim, awesome. Thank you. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
I remember when it was early when I was married that I used to have that same problem, and it seemed like he would say he was tired, then I would say I was tired, and it kind of became a competition. So one day I had to tell him, I'm not in competition with you. Mm. I'm just telling you how I feel. And so it kind of made him think, okay, she's not trying to one-up me or discount that I'm tired too. Uh-huh. It's just, we're both tired. Just how you feel is exactly how I feel, and I'm just expressing it. So I don't know if that was something
that that's great. That's really great. Yeah, just like kind of naming the tension or naming the competition or that feeling of competitiveness that might be happening. Right. Yeah, just speaking to that. I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else want to offer up a share, relatability, insight? Okay, awesome. Thank you for your shares, Lisa and Kim, and thanks for the question, Sayana. Much appreciated. Does anybody else have something else they want to offer up to the group, a share, a question, a support, an ask of any kind? We've got about 3 minutes or so to do one more before we kind of get into the crux of the call here. Sylvia, yes, please.
It was just a thought, kind of a little bit related with relationships and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
awesome.
The code of the extraordinary mind, he uses the term like to be unfuckwithable. Mm-hmm. And like, so how, like with relationships and stuff, you know, like how, I don't know, I'm still struggling to like get to that point. So it's like, I know it's like a super general question, but it kind of came to mind as we're talking. It's like how to be in that place where like, so that I don't escalate or whatever, you know, if something's bothering me, you know, because he uses that term and I'm like, that's super cool. I wish I would could be like that, or I want to be like that.
Right. Yeah. That's great. And actually, I think tonight's call hopefully will be helpful with that. In my experience, it starts with our inner world, like the unfuckwithableness, which thank you for like bringing that up, because I love that term too. It's so awesome. That starts with our relationship with ourself, and that starts with the way we're thinking about ourselves. And then it relates to how we're interacting with other people. So if I'm feeling insecure, or if I'm feeling like fear, or if I'm feeling self-sabotage-y, right? Or if there's negative stuff going on in my world, in my consciousness, then ironically, in ways, because sometimes we try to overcompensate with that by being like kind of puffing up and being like, you can't mess with me. But when other people come to us, or we have like encounters or interactions with other people, if we're feeling negatively in ways, then we're going to be fuckwithable, because we're already fucking with ourselves, right? Like we're already allowing ourselves to fuck with ourselves. So I think my insight on that just briefly is what we're going to be talking about tonight, and actually for the next three modules, around when we are centered and when we are like zen, so to speak, when we're able to watch the stream of consciousness as it flows through, and all the thoughts that come in, like screw him, he's an idiot, I'm better, that's not true, he attacked me, like all the stuff that happens, when we're able to like back out and watch it as it's happening and remember that like we can breathe, like we have choice about how we're interpreting the story. When we come back to that place and we practice it, which is, you know, meditation as a practice, consciousness as a practice, all things we're going to talk about. This is a great segue, by the way. Thank you. So when we're in that place of being unfuckwithable, when we're living in our truth and when we're living from our values, like if I have a value for compassion, empathy, serenity, maybe, and I'm calm and I'm centered and I'm watching things come through and I'm in a place with my values, then I am unfuckwithable. I mean, I'm human, so probably yes, I'll be triggered at some level, but I'll at least be able to not get swept up into the rushing, raging river of like thoughts and emotions and reactions that are trying to like pull me in. I'll be able to kind of stand back and be like, whoa, like, hey, I'm feeling really triggered right now. You know, I can feel myself wanting to react or get defensive or like bring out the swords, you know, but then having the opportunity to just take, like walk out of the room or take 10 or what have you. So on a relational level, I think that's a really great example too. It starts from our relationship and our stories inside. Does that make sense? Does that speak to your question?
Yeah. That's really helpful. I'm excited for what we're getting into today.
Awesome. Yeah. Great question. Does anybody else have a insight or a share related to what Sylvia was just asking? Okay. Well, hopefully by the end of this call, you all will. All right. Thank you for that. Okay, ladies. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to shift gears into talking about the module 3 materials and themes. So as I mentioned in the first video of module 3, which I uploaded on Tuesday, this module I've invested months into it because it's so darn important. Like it's the center of everything. It's like the big bang of everything that we are and what we create in our lives or what we experience in our lives. And that is like relationship with self. So the next three modules, this one, module 4, and module 5, relationship with self. As I was just saying, and thank you again for the segue, Sylvia, that everything stems from our inner world. Everything stems from how we relate with ourselves and our thinking and our feeling, the stories we tell ourselves, the beliefs we hold, the identities and roles that we co-sign or subscribe to. Everything else is a result of that. Like we are the seed, the soil, and the sun, as I say, of what blooms in our life or what withers, right? Or whatever's going on. So relationship with self is paramount. And when we have a better understanding of what's up with that, like who we are to start with, and then how to love ourselves, and then how to take agency over our lives, how to create what we want, what we really want in our lives, then our hell yes life is, it's possible, it's happening, right? So we're going to be learning a lot of tools in the next few modules, and I've been so kind of circling back. Yeah. So it's taken me quite some time to challenge my own limiting beliefs and my own procrastination and my own perfectionism around creating this content because it's I don't know. I kind of feel like it's like life or death situation. So I got a lot of great coaching from my coaches and did a lot of, you know, just a lot of reading and a lot of research related to my own journey as I was kind of pushing through the themes that I was writing about. It was a really interesting, like, I don't know, full circle thing. So tonight we're going to be talking about relationship with self, specifically identity. So specifically the question, who am I? And I unpack a lot of this in the module, so I don't want to be necessarily redundant in the education or what I'm talking about tonight. So I invite all of you to go ahead and watch the videos from module three and take a look at the worksheets. You'll see that they're pretty much the written narrative of the videos, but then the exercises and the worksheets, there's some room to like write down your answers and go through and do the exercises. So before I get started with this, let me just see a show of hands, and it's totally okay if nobody's taken a look at it yet because it's only 2 days old. But has anybody had a chance to look at the module 3 materials or do any of the exercises? Just raise your hand if you have. Okay, Kim, awesome. All right, and I think Cindy did too. Awesome, well, thank you for taking a look at that. So I'm gonna go ahead and do a little bit of recap on a couple of sections then in that module without being repetitive, hopefully. So the first thing to dive into here is the question of who am I? So if we're all here to create our and live our hell yes life, right? The life that we wake up in the morning and as Ty Lopez calls it, we tap dance out of bed because what we've created is so freaking awesome that we're just elated to get started with our day. So to create that, we need to ask the question, who is creating my life? Like who is the who? Who is the me? And this might sound kind of, it's very philosophical and it's very spiritual and it's also very existentially legitimate. So asking the question of who am I is the first step in the journey here. We've talked a lot about awareness. We've talked a lot about stimulus response in other modules and on other calls. So for those of you who haven't heard those or been on the call, go ahead and listen to the recordings. But essentially what we're talking about here is asking, when we ask, who am I? We also get to ask, what are the answers that come through there? Who am I? Okay, well, the first pass in answering that question is I'm a mother, I'm a doctor, I'm a barista, I'm a girl, I'm a friend, I'm a dancer, I'm a blonde, I'm a, you know, whatever, I'm just making stuff up right now. But our first pass, we might answer that question with, you know, a descriptor of a label that we kind of have, right? Or a role that we play or an identity that we have assumed in society. But these are aspects of what we are, but they are not like the essence and the core of what we are. So again, tons more on this in the module and in the reading. So for this module, I assigned The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. And as an additional recommendation, there's The Power of Now, and then there's also Start Where You Are by Pema Chodron, and The Code of the Extraordinary Mind. So if any of you feel like reading your butts off for the next couple of weeks, tackle them all. If there's just one or two, I would say The Untethered Soul for sure, chapters 1 through 4 at least, and then The Code of the Extraordinary Mind, chapters 1 through 3, all of which, especially The Untethered Soul, he does an amazing job of walking you through the exploration and the experience of zooming out and watching your thoughts, right? So there's an exercise in the first portion of the module. So what's going on here in this practice of zooming out or sitting, having a sitting meditation, I'm calling it a consciousness practice, semantics aside, the sitting with oneself, focusing on the breathing, and then watching the thoughts that pop in. Guessing that most of you have noticed at one point or another in your life that sometimes you're just thinking the most random shit. Like, just like, where did that thought come from? Or maybe like a song pops in your head and you're like, I haven't heard that since third grade. Like, what the heck? Where it's just this incessant, constant stream of activity in our brains. It's called the monkey mind in some philosophies. So there's this chatterbox, there's this beautiful thing we have up here, our brains, and it is a constant firing of neuronal activity. So, but all of that firing that's going off, that's what it is. That's not who we are. Those are literally synaptic, like energy bursts that are happening, right? So being able to kind of sit back and watch the thoughts and just like intentionally just like, and just like check them out as they fly by and start practicing this as much and as often as you can. This does a few things. First of all, it hopefully will give you the experience of your consciousness. So the you that is watching your thoughts, right? Like the fact that you can watch your thoughts means that you are not your thoughts, because we can't simultaneously be the subject and the object, right? Like we can't, they're not one and the same. In order to have an object to watch, there must be a subject. So that in and of itself, just by like, I don't know what the law would be, but like relativity, perhaps object relativity. Like I'm looking at this water bottle, therefore I cannot be the water bottle. I'm looking at the water bottle. So by watching our thoughts, it helps to put us in touch with that aspect of us, our consciousness, our who we and what we really are, which is this consciousness. There's no better way to explain it. And it's not localized anywhere necessarily. It's our spirituality. It's our spiritual essence as a human being. And regardless of your religious orientation, or dogmatic, you know, preferences or atheism or what have you, it doesn't matter. There's still this consciousness that is our essence. So when we practice this watching of our thoughts, we start to really feel into and live from a very conscious place. And we get to watch the thoughts that are happening. And in realizing that those thoughts are not us, we realize, oh my gosh, I don't have to believe them. Like, I don't have to co-sign this thought that I'm a failure. I don't have to co-sign this thought that I'm horrible at meeting people. Whoa, like that's just a thought. Wait a minute, right? We start realizing that these things that are flowing through are just these, like, may as well be fish with labels on them, you know, like they're neither here nor there in terms of their relevance or the weight that they hold on us. So from this place, we get to, as we've been kind of talking about before, we get to not take ourselves so damn seriously, because we are the consciousness. We're not the thoughts. We're not our past. We're not our mistakes. We're not our job title. We're not our role in society. Like, these are aspects of our consciousness existing, but who we truly, truly are is consciousness. So this is pretty philosophically and spiritually like meta stuff. And I'm not trying to rush through it, but I'm also trying to be mindful of not being redundant. And also there's a lot to be read and a lot to be explored in the module itself. So I'm going to take a pause here and ask you guys, ladies, is this connecting? And does anybody have any questions? Is it making sense? Any thoughts or feedbacks? Okay. So again, why is this so important? Because when we have conscious awareness of our inner mental experience, we can do whatever we want. We can choose. We can choose, okay, I'm keeping this thought that I want to believe that I'm great at meeting people. Like, that is part of my hell yes life. So I'm going to keep that thought. Like, that thought, okay, you can keep going in. That's great. Because the things that we repeat, the things that continuously flow through, there's a saying that neurons that fire together wire together. So the more frequently we have these archetypes or these ideas or these labels or these stories, whether they're good or they're bad, they are going to wire together, which then becomes behavior, right? Because we react to whatever we are believing. So then we behave, and then our behavior results in the gives us the results that we have in our life. So I have quotes everywhere down here, and I thought I had a quote right on hand. Oh yeah. Okay. So there's a quote by Michael Singer that I wanted to read, because I just think this is a great one. There's nothing more important than realizing that you are not the voice of the mind. You are the one who hears it. So I invite you ladies to write that thing down, like on a sticky note in your phone. Remind yourself as frequently as possible that these things that are happening upstairs, they're just things. They're just thoughts, right? Pema Chodron recommends in her book, Start Where You Are, as a meditation practice or a consciousness practice, to as you're sitting and noticing all the things flowing through, to just label it thinking, right? So, thinking. So when that thought comes through that I could never do that thing, or I'm horrible with people, we're like, oh, it's thinking, right? Another technique that I've used a lot is, I'm having the thought, that I'm horrible at meeting people, right? So just realizing that I'm having the thought that I'm horrible at meeting people, and slight difference, but very impactful one, from I am horrible at meeting people, right? So the I am versus the, which we're like fully identifying with the limiting or the liberating belief. And just realizing and remembering that, oh, I'm having the thought that blah, 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 right? So a couple of techniques that you can start using right away, especially around those gremlins, around those doubts, around those fears, around those like stories that are happening around your, anything disempowering, right? Anything that's not serving you, learn from it if necessary, if there's a lesson in there. Learn from it, but then label it, right? Oh, that's a thought. Like, that's a gremlin. That's a weed. Like, that's bullshit, right? Whatever is helpful for you to really let it sink in that this isn't true, right? It doesn't have to be true. It doesn't have to be a belief that you keep in your garden. On the next call, and probably in the very near future, in one of these upcoming modules, I'm going to be doing the work. I'll probably do the work live on one of these calls, or do it, Byron Katie's work, if for those of you who haven't heard of it, an incredibly powerful tool to reframe and to let go of limiting beliefs, to really call out the story. Her phrase is, who would you be without your story? So, but at any rate, being able to call that into question, to be able to really ask ourselves, like, this crappy thought that I'm having right now, is this true, right? Is this absolutely true? So the first step of this, ladies, is to start a practice. Start a practice every day, several times a day if possible, of just sitting for, if you start with a minute, awesome. Start where you can. But just sit and watch the thoughts. Start practicing that muscle of consciousness. Start practicing the muscle of awareness. And one of the things I recommend, which I speak to in the module 3 video, is first thing in the morning, right? This is my favorite time to do this. Straight up, like, the first thing I do when I open my eyes, thank goodness to several years of having sticky notes right by my bed, like at the angle where I wake up, so I read them when I open my eyes. But the sticky note says, you know, like, where are your thoughts? Or like, are you really awake? And I'm like, oh gosh, you know, and I'll realize that all of these thoughts were already going on. Like, from the first second that I popped my, you know, opened my eyes, it's just like, check my cell phone. Da 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 da. I didn't call Sally. I need to do this. What am I going to have for breakfast? That song I heard yesterday was awesome. Like, da 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 da, you know, that Facebook post. Oh my gosh, is she okay? So our thoughts, especially in the morning, commonly are pretty hectic, like kind of manic in a way, just like going crazy. So it's a great time. It's a fun time. I think it's a fun time to, what I call, like, sit back and watch the circus, you know, just like the monkeys like running around and all the stuff coming in. So to be able to, I like lay in bed or sit up in a sitting meditative position and zoom out and watch your thoughts. And in tandem with the morning routine that we've talked about at the beginning of this journey months ago, having a morning routine where you don't touch your phone, right? You don't touch your phone for the first 10, 20, 30 hour of your day. Start your day out with intention, journaling, reading, a little bit of exercise, healthy food, gratitudes. So my practice personally is waking up, doing my awareness check-in, and then I do 5 gratitudes or more if I'm feeling super exuberantly grateful. And then after my gratitudes, I do some journaling, some reading, and some yoga, which that's a practice for me. At any rate, so in tandem with a morning routine, that is bringing your consciousness into your life. So in whatever capacity you have, right? If you have 5 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes, an hour, awesome. To start taking your life back, like start taking your reality back, like fuck these thoughts that are just barraging us with negativity. So being aware of them, shifting right into gratitude. Gratitude is one of the most powerful ways to slay like negativity and self-sabotage. So shifting into some gratitude and then start your day with intention. So I'm going to ask all of you as an action item in the next forever, hopefully, but between now and the next call, we'll do a check-in on this next time. To start doing this, like start a practice, like when when during the day can you do this? Like, create time. I know we're all busy. I know there's a billion excuses to not sit still. Give yourself the gift of sitting still for a few minutes, several times a day, a couple times a day, morning and night, if that's where you start. Start a practice and just watch your thoughts. And when you notice yourself noticing that you get kind of sucked into a thought, because they're real tempting, right? Like, you kind of pop in, it's like squirrel, and our attention shifts over, and all of a sudden we're thinking about something, and we're like totally into it. And then we come back and we're like, oh shit, I was supposed to be watching my thoughts, like not getting sucked into them. So just gently and compassionately coming back to consciousness and like, okay, like that just happened. I just went with that thought for a while. And just come back to the seat of awareness and continue watching. This is meditation. Meditation, the point is not to not have thoughts. There really is no point to meditation. I'm not going to be as like ostentatious as to claim that I know the point. But the practice of it is to raise our conscious awareness and to be more intentionally conscious more frequently. So when you do find yourself pulled into the circus arena by some tiger of a thought, gently just, you know, be compassionate with yourself. Yep, just had that thought coming back. That was weird. Ha ha ha. All right. And then keep watching my thoughts. Follow your breath, right? Breathing in and out comfortably, not so deep that you're going to pass out. But yeah, so practice. And I invite and encourage all of you to, you know, shoot me an email or a text like, hey, like, I don't really know what I'm doing here. Or, this is my schedule. Will you hold me accountable? Or, you know, to the group, if you'd like the group to hold you accountable, that's what we're here for. So I can, you know, we can have like an email thread where we're all kind of corresponding that way. All right. So let's see here. Any questions, any insights, thoughts? Okay. Is this making sense? Okay. Okay. Awesome. All right. So, There's a couple of examples just to kind of tie this all together, analogies rather. So there's an example that Michael Singer gives in the book of a movie theater, being in a movie theater of, I like to just like think about it as literally, because when I'm in a movie theater, especially like the fancy ones with surround sound and like these days, like 3D and stuff, I totally get sucked in. Like I completely forget that I'm in a theater sitting in a chair watching a movie. I am just like, what's going on? And that is so analogous to our life, our everyday life. And I think I've mentioned this before on the call, but we sleepwalk so much in our daily life, like just like, whoa, like driving, you know, sometimes like I don't even remember the last 5 minutes of my drive, or just kind of following our impulses or following our unconscious mental activity or our habits, right? Our thoughts create habits. So oftentimes we'll just be doing something and like kind of automatically doing it, which is great if it's a great habit. It's great if it's healthy. It's great if we've trained ourselves to do what serves us, but not so great if we're sleepwalking through our life and we find ourselves on the couch with a bag of potato chips and the sixth season of something in the last 3 days that we just won't stop watching. So imagining this as the movie theater of our, like, that is our consciousness. And like, then you like in the theater, if you're like, oh yeah, I'm watching a movie right now. That's kind of what I'm talking about here with everyday reality, like creating reminders, creating like these little triggers. Patricia made an awesome, she had a ring custom made that says, I get to, right? And because we tell ourselves so often like, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. And as a reminder, which I love, she created a ring that says I get to on it. And it's an anchor, so she can anchor into that. So anything you do to remind yourself like, oh yeah, I'm watching the movie. I'm not the movie, right? I'm not in the damn thing. So let's see here. And then there's also the example of dreaming or lucid dreaming. So you guys know how when you're having a dream and it just feels so freaking real and you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, I was totally just at the rodeo in Arizona in 1972. And then you're like, but that, nope, I'm here in bed, but it feels super real. So that's kind of like that experience. So what we want to do is wake up, like wake up consciously in this reality right now. And then there's something called lucid dreaming, which is a real thing. I studied this for quite some time a few years back. Stephen LaBerge was a professor at Stanford who proved that lucid dreaming is a real thing, which essentially means that you wake up in your dream and you can consciously do things in your dream. Pretty cool stuff. Look into it if you're interested, or I'll send you some stuff around that. But again, another example of like the difference between being conscious and unconscious, like sleepwalking and being awake. Okay, so let's do a share, and then I'll share some ways to wake up. Actually, no, sorry. I'll share some ways to wake up since I'm kind of on that right now. So meditation, emotions are a great trigger, right? So if you find yourself feeling anxiety, what are the thoughts that I'm having right now that are triggering this anxiety? Sometimes there won't be a direct or obvious correlation. Sometimes anxiety is provoked from our central nervous system or from our vagus nerve, but oftentimes it is triggered by thoughts. So if you're having anxiety, if you're feeling afraid, if you're feeling super pissy, if you're feeling whatever, oftentimes it's because there's a story or thought or memory or something going on. So that's an opportunity to wake up, right? Like, oh, I'm feeling angry right now. What am I thinking? Oh yeah, I'm just thinking, right? That's a good one. Jewelry, I mentioned. Patricia's sticky notes, also I mentioned. Everywhere I go, I sticky note the heck out of my place. Even here in Mexico, like my apartment's just hilarious with sticky notes. But they're great because I'm brushing my teeth and I see this note that says, anything that seems difficult can be easy when considered so, right? So I'm thinking about yoga this morning, you know, like, man, I have so much resistance around it, which is why I'm making myself do it. But then if I shift my thinking in the story and I'm like, yoga is so easy, I love it. I put on my audiobook and I stretch, like, fun, what the heck? And then I'm like, oh yeah, it's easy sometimes. So sticky notes are awesome. Reminders and phones. And then I'm gonna segue a little bit. So results are a great trigger too. So if you are noticing you're getting some results in your life that you're not super thrilled about, like I really don't have very many friends right now. Like I'm trying to pull something. I should pull something real for myself. Yeah. Okay. So I'm not in super good shape, right? Not in super good shape. I can hike some mountains. I can camp, but last week on my camping trip, I've got my huge like travel backpack and all my stuff in it. And I'm like, it's 6 miles. It's not that long. And I'm going through the jungle and I am like pouring sweat, like, right. Not in the shape I'd like to be in. Right. So there's a result, right? Like this is the level of in shapeness I'm at somewhere here. That's a trigger for me. Like, what are the thoughts or beliefs or stories that are leading me to take actions that then give me the result of not being in shape? So it's kind of like reverse engineering. And this is something that one of my coaches, Mark Langford, amazing, amazing coach. He was the one that really woke me up to this. Like, oh, it's easy. Like if anybody's struggling with anything, and you look at their results, oh, then what are their behaviors? And that'll show you their beliefs. Like, boom, boom, boom. So I invite you ladies to, if you're getting results in your life that you're not thrilled about or would like to change or improve or what have you, ask yourself, what are the beliefs that are creating those results? I have great friends and an amazing social circle because I believe that I deserve to have really amazing people in my life. And I believe that I add value to other people's lives. And if I believed differently, if I believed that I'm a crappy person, no one cares and people don't want to be my friend, then I'd probably, you know, not go out very much or have very many friends. So, and I'm not trying to say this in like a hierarchical way where like any of us are better or worse than anybody else. Certainly we all go through our stuff, but results are a really great reminder of like, oh, okay, this isn't working. What am I thinking or believing here? I'm seeing that there is a performance going on at the restaurant down the bay here, which might be, is that obnoxious? Is that going to be disruptive? Okay, good. Sweet. All right. So those are the triggers. Those are some ways you can wake up. Meditation, emotions, jewelry, sticky notes, results. So let's go ahead and do a share. And then we're going to talk, about puppy draining, in a minute. So, but I would love to offer up to the group, if any of you feel comfortable, like what are some of the thoughts that you find yourself having like repeatedly, or maybe some of the thoughts that are just like, you want to get rid of or weed out. Like what are some thoughts that you realize are not working for you, right? They're just like, they're on the tape that's playing, but you would like to take that particular part of it out. If anybody would like to offer something up, I encourage you to do so. And I'm going to mute myself because to me it's loud. Anyone want to raise a hand? Thoughts, interrupting thoughts, gremlins, circus monkeys. Okay. All right. Everyone's in listening mode. Oh, hi, Lisa. Did you want to share?
Yeah, I can try.
Okay. Thank you.
God, it's like, how do you zero in on, at least where I'm at right now, it's hard for me to zero in on any one particular thing. Only because there's so many right now. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I would, so for example, I guess I'm having a belief right now that I'm not attractive anymore. Like I can't turn ahead. I'm recently divorced, about a year and a half. I'm out in the world again. I'm a healthy woman. I've kind of gone through my grieving. I'm ready to, you know, maybe connect with somebody. And I just believe that I'm not attractive anymore. And so, of course, what are my results? And, you know, I'm working at a ski resort. There's beautiful men everywhere. I'm, you know, a cook in an open kitchen. I have access and interaction with people all day long. And so that's been really, really limiting. And I think there's some protection of myself in my energy behind how I'm putting myself forward, because I know that I'm not in the healthiest place that I want to be in to maybe meet someone or you know, share myself with someone from. So I'm being protective, but at the same time, it'd be nice to just, I think my ego is kind of feeling like, geez, it'd be nice to just get a little attention now and some kind of validation that I'm not some dried up old lady at this point in my life. So anyway, it's just been interesting. It's like, well, of course nobody's paying me any attention because I don't believe that I'm attractive anymore.
Thank you for that. Yeah, freaking great example. Yeah, really great example. Great share. So have you, What might happen if you tune into your definitions, like re-examine or reevaluate your definitions of beauty? Does that make sense? Like, it sounds like you might be holding yourself to standards that are not serving you, or.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of confused because I feel like I've just been sort of observing. The responses I've been getting there, you know, I've had a couple little crushes this winter and put a little bit of energy into developing them to with no reciprocation at all. And, you know, maybe I'm just taking it too personally too, but the last time I was single, I was in my late 30s, and now I'm in my early 50s. And so now, you know, it's like I'm a different woman. It's a different time in my life. And your late 30s are different than your early 50s. And I'm just kind of coming, I don't know if it's anything to come to terms with. I'm just trying to observe it. And it's interesting that I'm not attracting some attention. It's just kind of interesting to me because I always could in the past. And so I think I'm holding this belief that I'm not attractive because I've aged. And it's just been really interesting this winter. It's been a funny little experiment. And maybe I need to examine my ideas about what beauty is, you know, how I define that within myself. And it's just been an interesting little experiment this winter.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. It makes sense that if there's the story or the belief that you're not attractive anymore, that the world is our mirror, right? And if we, like, how do I explain? Okay, so if there's the thought of this, is, I want to be attractive to people. Like, I want that attention. Maybe I want some of those connections, but yeah. I don't believe that I am attractive. Then that's the energy that kind of goes out. It's, you know, it's really interesting what's communicated non-verbally. There's statistics out there, something to the effect that like 80% of communication is non-verbal. So we can put on a show, we can try to put on a show all day long that we, you know, like, I want this guy to like me, or like, oh, find me attractive, Mr. Man. But if inside we don't believe that we're, if, you know, if you don't believe that you're attractive, your subconscious mind shows up in the way that you behave and shows up in the way that you like relate with other people.
Yeah,
right.
It's
right. Yeah. So my invitation to you with that would be to dive into, or just journal about what your definitions of beauty are. Like, what does that mean to you? What are your metrics? What are your standards? And then, have you done Byron Katie's work? You're familiar with Byron Katie, yeah? Yeah, okay. So that would be something to run through the work. Huh?
I haven't done it in a while.
Okay, awesome. So that would be a tool I would personally use, and I do personally use, because it loosens the grip of that seeming truth of the belief, you know? Mm-hmm. So kind of shattering the feeling of like realness that belief has, or starting to kind of crack it open a little bit might be helpful with the work. Mm-hmm. Another exercise I would invite you into, we'll be talking about this a lot in the next module, the next couple modules, but visualization. So this is actually a great segue too, but I've been diving back into a lot of the research around the power of the subconscious mind. And I just finished a book called The Brain That Heals Itself, and they're talking about plasticity, neuroplasticity. And so visualization, come to find out, I mean, spiritual sages have known this for centuries, but the subconscious mind and visualization create more effective change more quickly and more deeply than any other tool we could use to work on ourselves or to create change in our lives. So my invitation to you would be to, even if it doesn't right now feel like, you know, I'm attractive, or I'm, or if there's that limiting belief, I'm not attractive anymore, as an exercise, set that kind of disbelief or doubt, maybe have it take a walk around the block or something, or play in the snow, and write a visualization of what it would feel like to feel fucking attractive. Like, what does that feel like? Like, what are, especially because this is such a felt sense thing, like the feeling of attractiveness, it's like, you know, confidence, or like maybe your chest is up a little bit, maybe your shoulders are a little more back, maybe you walk with a little bit of a strut, maybe, like, you know, like, but what is that experience like? Like, journal, or maybe remembering what it felt like if and when you did feel attractive, and write a visualization in the positive present tense, and and read that thing and feel into that, like meditate on it at least once a day. I suggest first thing in the morning and before you go to bed. Our brains are essentially, I mean, they're the most powerful and incredible things in the universe, but this is research backed 1,000% that when we feed our subconscious visualizations and like visceral kind of like imaginings, it doesn't know the difference between like what's real and what's imagined. That's the subconscious mind has no concept of like, oh wait, that's not real. So when we begin to feed it these visualizations of what we really, really do want, then it starts to change. Like it's our own medicine. Like we can feed ourselves our own remedy and our own medicine with visualization of like the ideal hell yes feeling or scenario or action or result. So, and I've been, like I said, I've been diving into that a lot more lately. A few books that changed my life about 8 years ago, one, Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. It's a seminal book on the subconscious mind, but I used that about 8 years ago diligently for a few years and got amazing results. And then in creating these modules, I've been like going back through it and reading it like multiple times. And it works. Like it might sound bananas of like, oh sure, like visualizations, blah, 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 right? But it works. I promise. If you make a practice out of it, your subconscious mind, again, neurons that fire together, wire together. So your subconscious mind will start to feel that version of you instead of the unattractive version. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, this, and it, again, it's neuroscience. It's not like wish yourself great or something like that. It's like, it's about the repetition and it's about the visceral imagining of it. And that's what changes the game. And that, like I said, that's going to be the next couple of modules, talking about the reprogramming. So, is this helpful?
Yeah. Is it different than fake it till you make it? Are you familiar with that term?
Oh yeah. It is different in the sense that, fake it till you make it can be really useful because it's reprogramming on some level. Usually it's like action oriented. Like, I don't think I'm a good dancer, but I'm going to get up and dance anyway. Right. Until I'm a good dancer. So fake it till you make it, I think, is speaking to the, like, get off your ass and do the thing anyway. Right. And then you will become it, because just sitting on your butt isn't going to make it happen. Fake it till you make it's a great one. Like, yeah, if it resonates. But this visualization process that I'm talking about is different in the sense that it's like, it's more of a sitting practice. It's more of like a meditative, like write it out, like as detailed as possible. Like sometimes mine are like 2 pages and I'll print them out and hang them on my wall, again, at the angle that I wake up. So I read them first thing in the morning. Uh-huh. Or on my phone, I save it on my phone and I'll like read every line and I'll feel what that feels like. And I'll read it to the next line and I'll feel what it feels like. Like, yes, like I'm traveling the world and I'm in Mexico leading a group coaching call. Like that was a visualization of mine 3 years ago, right? 4 years ago. And here I am. So that's an example from my life, but it works. Like this, it really does work. Again, the subconscious mind does whatever we feed it. Like we place the order at the restaurant of our subconscious mind, the order goes to the kitchen and it makes the meal. So if we're telling it I'm not attractive and we're giving that, we're not going to feel attractive. So, yeah. Thank you. Is that helpful? Do you have any questions about that? Anybody? Lisa?
No, I mean, it totally makes sense. It's just been interesting to watch this winter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As I'm like venturing back out into life again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a little
there. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Circling back to this relationship with self, right? Identity. We have to be our own best friends. Like we have no one else is going to come in and like pull the thorn of unattractive feelings out of us. Right. Like we get to be our best friend and love ourselves up. And like, you know what? I'm done hearing that, talking to myself with that such bullshit. Like, I'm tired of hearing my own shit, right? Not to say that, but for me, sometimes that's what I get to. I'm like, I am so tired of this, like, version of this, these thoughts that are coming, like, get out of here, right? And because I am my best friend, like, I love myself, right? And just practicing that, like, being an ambassador for ourselves and being, putting ourselves first, which yeah. as women in this society, not the most highly encouraged thing to do, but yeah. Okay, does anybody else have a, thank you for that, Lisa, thank you so much.
And I have to say, like, if you look behind me, that there's this giant bear that my daughter actually brought in, but I thought I'd just clarify, it's not like my boy doll in my bed or anything. But I just noticed that's Mocha, he's a giant bear that lives in our house, and I just thought I'd clarify that.
You're so cute.
He's so big, he's like too big, he doesn't even feel like a guy. He's like a giant. So, because last night when she brought him in, I was thinking, geez, maybe I should get myself one. Anyway, segue. It's funny how he's like right back there.
Thanks for picking me up.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh my God. Thank you for that. I love your, the stuffed animal collection there. Yeah. Oh, really cute. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Anybody else have anybody else have a suggestion or a thought for Lisa or a support or a I can relate or anything along those lines before we move forward? Okay. Okay. Well, I'll do a show of hands here. Who can relate with feeling unattractive sometimes? Yep. Lisa, you're not alone, sweetheart. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, you're not alone. And that's an important thing to remember is that you're not alone. Like these feelings and thoughts of, I don't feel attractive. Like, so, all right. Is there... Let me just touch on this real quick. Is there an ask or anything that the group can be, do, or show or share that would be helpful in your, like, this limiting belief, Lisa?
No, not necessarily. Just, okay. You know, soak up the juiciness if I have anything better to share along the line.
Ooh, okay. Awesome. Thanks. Okay, ladies, I'm seeing that we have 10 minutes left. All right, so I'm gonna shift into kind of the next theme of this module. So we were starting with who am I? Realizing that we're consciousness, realizing that we are not our thoughts, we could choose our thoughts, and segueing from that a little bit, I'm going to kind of work off of Vishen's book, The Code of the Extraordinary Mind, for a moment here. So there's this question of, like, well, where do our thoughts come from? Where do thoughts come from? One of my friends used to ask that all the time, and I'm like, stop it, I don't know. But where do our thoughts come from, right? Our thoughts come from years and years and years and years of programming, years of repetition, years of beliefs. And Vishen calls them models of reality. He's a computer architect, software architect, so he uses a lot of, like, software analogies in his writing, which I actually think is a great analogy. So he calls it, you know, models of reality. So these models of reality that we carry around are either empowering or disempowering. And this is a total speculation hypothetical, but the limiting belief of, like, I'm not attractive anymore, like, that's a model of reality. He breaks it down into three reasons why this doesn't work, why our models of reality don't work. The first one is that our models of reality are programmed by the world we grew up in. Okay, so programmed by the world we... Uh-oh, my internet connection is unstable. Can you ladies hear me? Can I get a thumbs up if you can still hear me? Okay, awesome. So from the day we arrive on this planet, we are programmed by the world around us, from our parents, from our culture, from our religion, from our, like, a whole world that was here before we were ever here, and we plop into it, and then this world starts to morph us and shape us, like we're Play-Doh, right? Like, hey, believe this, believe in this God, eat this food, don't eat this food, don't talk back, clean up your room, like you're not worthy, or oh, you're the best, or whatever it is. Like, we're bombarded with the media, with our school systems, with our peer groups, with especially with the messaging and like movies and commercials and things like that. So these models, right? But they're not the models that we've chosen. They're the models that, as he said, or Steve Jobs said, like, chosen by people who were probably no smarter than us, right? Who made the rules, as he calls them, before. So we pop into this world, and we're programmed by forces outside of our control, kind of like arbitrary sets of beliefs. And I want to be clear that I'm not speaking poorly to any spiritual, religious, cultural, like, processes or practices or anything like that. Like, that I respect it. What I am really saying here, and he's saying here, is just like the model or limiting beliefs come from our models of reality, right? So the second thing he mentions is our models of reality, good or bad, determine our systems for living. So in essence, bad beliefs create bad habits, right? So if we have good models, if I believe I'm great with people, I'm worthy of having good friends, then I have the habit of going out and talking to people and hanging out. And then the third thing he says is our modern models and systems are lacking in consciousness practices. Sorry, our modern models and systems are lacking in conscious practices. We are not only just we are now just beginning to realize the power of our minds. So for a long time, we've been sleepwalking through our life, which is what we're talking about today, which is what we're talking about on this program for a long time. So we're just starting to realize the power of our subconscious mind, neuroplasticity, the ability to change, the ability to heal ourselves, the ability to completely shift the way that we think. So we didn't know that for a long time, or Western society, civilized society, you know, beat it down. Spiritual masters have known it for a long time, but it's a conversation for another day. But so now that we can, you know, we're realizing the power of our minds and the power of our being aware of our thinking, being aware of our conscious and our subconscious, we can start to change that. So The Code of the Extraordinary Mind, if you don't have it, get it. It's a great book. I recommend the hard copy if you can, or the Kindle version, just because it's one of those books that's like super highlightable, right? Or like writing in the margins or highlights. It's such a great source. So I think I'm gonna pause here. We're pretty much at time. Perfect timing. So the next thing that we're going to talk about on the next call, and the portions of the module that I'm going to be adding in the next week or so, are about calling up our limiting beliefs. And in doing that, in becoming aware of what our limiting beliefs are, what's been keeping us back or keeping us stuck or getting in the way of us and what we want to be, do, or have, it starts with awareness. So this is why we're starting with the consciousness practice first, to start the practice of like being aware of what's coming through. And then as an aspect of that consciousness practice or meditation, I invite you to have a journal or the worksheets from the module to write down some of the thoughts that are sticky gremlins. I call them the gremlins, but the negative limiting beliefs. Start creating a running list of them. And then once we are aware of them, then we're going to talk about, we're going to get more in depth about how to change them. So I mentioned a couple of things tonight that I'll go more into depth in the module in the next call, but visualization for sure, like reprogramming the subconscious mind works. So I just finished a book, seven books last week, but I finished one of them, The Brain That Changes Itself, talking about neuroplasticity, and it's fucking cool what our brains can do. So once we call forth those limiting beliefs, like, you know, I'm unattractive, or I can't get in shape, or I can't meet people, or I'm too lazy to be successful, or whatever the thing is, we're going to start We're going to start working at that. We're going to use Byron Katie's work. We're going to use the power of visualization, which I kind of went through briefly with Lisa tonight. We're going to be talking about like visual aids, like vision boards and like Pinterest boards. It sounds super new agey, but it works. Our subconscious registers visual information at a much higher rate and in a deeper way than the written word. So we're going to kind of tie all of this in and create some really empowering beliefs and do that on the next module. So, and I'm going to bring a ton of science into everything as usual, because science and spirituality they go hand in hand. They're not opposing. And I love to give all of you kind of distill down what I learn from my insatiable reading obsession. I like to distill it down for you and give you the facts and the Cliff's Notes. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap there. Let's do takeaways and or questions about any of this. So yeah, anything about consciousness, who am I, the circus, the chatter, neuroplasticity, changing our brains, models of reality, anything that came up for you tonight, feel free to ask and share a takeaway from what you learned, an insight, an aha, that's interesting, I'm going to think about that more, something you appreciate about each other. So let's see. Let's start with Sylvia. Would you be willing to do a takeaway? I'm going to add something too, a little asterisk here. Let's do a takeaway with the addition of something that somebody else said that resonated with you or that you are like connected with, if it's genuine, right? So I want to create more of like that we're hanging out together. So yeah, takeaway, Sylvia. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So I think my biggest takeaways, things that resonated with me, were really that relationship with self, I think really was one thing that stood out to me. It's something that I think for some reason I've never really been good at. I seek for, approval from others rather than myself or seek to be with others. But like, yeah, the idea of like, you know, cultivating a relationship with myself and being the one, you know, that, you know, no one else is going to, you know, take away these feelings or whatever. I'm in charge of my life and I should have a relationship with myself. You know, that's really resonates with me and is something that I want to, you know, continue to do. And, you know, being by myself, you know, for a month was really helpful with that, I think, and it's something that I want to continue. So that was one thing. And the visualization, like how you're talking about the brain, like the elasticity, and like, you know, so if I can visualize a little bit more of where I want to be or how I want to feel, like that was really cool when we were talking about, you know, like how to feel, or how you're saying like to feel like you're attractive or whatever, to like visualize that and stuff like that. It's like, okay, you know, that sounds really cool. I need to try that. So
awesome.
Yeah. Cause that would be helpful for me. So So yeah, I think those are pretty much, yeah, the whole call was really awesome. So I have several things that I'd like to start doing. So I need to make the time for them.
Yeah. Terrific. Yeah. Thank you for those shares. I'm glad that resonated with you. Yeah. The feeling part of visualization is, it really helps it land. Like it's one thing to think like, oh, I'm traveling the world and coaching, blah, blah, blah. It's one thing to think that, but when I would visualize like what it felt like what I'm feeling right now, I'm like, yes, that's awesome. So just like, yeah, the feeling part of it. I'm glad that connected with you too. Okay. Was there anything that anybody else shared or said or asked that like resonated with you?
Yeah. Like, Lisa, your whole thing, you know, I definitely feel all those things too. That really resonated with me, like your whole share, like I have those similar feelings. So it was really helpful that you brought that up and that we kind of talked through that as well. So I appreciated that.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for that. Okay, thanks, Sylvia. Let's go to Lisa and take away anything that stood out, connected for you.
Well, I think the visualization is, it's kind of a way to also, you know, it really helps circumvent the negative thought loop. Like when you can stop and like actually think like, well, what, how do I want it to be? Rather than just getting caught in this muck and mire, it's like shoring yourself up and saying, hey, damn it, just stop already. Let's think about, you know, what do you really want? It's so easy to get caught in that muck and not even get around to think, let alone believing it, but even thinking, even though our thoughts or whatever, are they really anything that we need to pay attention to? But visualization, I think the key to visualization is the feeling of it.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of what sets it apart from
thinking,
right? I'm going to really work with that. And
awesome.
And just letting some different beliefs start to get some attention.
Yay. Awesome.
Yeah. And I just you know, all of you raising your hand. It's crazy how sometimes we feel like we're so alone in our struggles and neuroses in life, and we're all just human, right? But it's, thank you for offering up your hand to say, you know, that you felt the same way. It makes things feel less lonely. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that takeaway. Kim, would you be willing to do a takeaway? No pressure, totally up to you.
There were a couple of things, but I'm trying to think of which one, because I've been like writing like crazy, because I listened to the module earlier, and it was about him saying that we're not our thoughts, we are the consciousness. And I think on some level I've tried to do that without realizing that that's what I was doing, but just in a different way. And I think something that Lisa just said, like, how do you really want your life to go? I'm used to throwing out what I don't want instead of really focusing on what I do want. So I'm very quick to say, okay, this thought isn't good, this thought isn't good. So I throw everything away.
Right. Without
adding something back in and saying, this is what I want. So that for me was big.
Excellent.
Rolling thoughts. Yeah. I thought, okay. Like just noticing that they are scrolling thoughts, and you don't have to entertain them or evaluate them, because I'll overthink and overanalyze everything and then say, okay, that's got to go, you know, so that.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Yeah. Thank you for that takeaway. Yep. So, and we'll be talking about this more for sure, but yeah, when we throw out a something sort of in its place, right? So I love that connected with you, and thank you for articulating that way. And yes, it's so important, like, you know, okay, I don't want to be having this thought, but when we focus, then that's our reality. So awesome. Yeah, thank you for that. All right, and let's see here. Cindy, it looks like you're still here. I know you're joining by phone, but if you would like or are available to do a takeaway. Maybe you are driving or occupied. Okay. Well, thank you for your takeaways. My takeaway. I think my takeaway is to how amazing it feels to empathize. I'm a very empathic person, I think, as is. And my friends say, people told me, like, oh, my antenna are, like, way too out. I need to kind of pull my antenna in because I'm so sensitive to other people. But it feels really good. Like, it feels really good to be here with all of you and hear as we share our, you know, experiences of life and our challenges and, like, what do I do here or what, you know, it's, like, part of my essence, part of my consciousness that connects with the shared experience of, like, the magic of relationship. That's the magic of, like, one of the magical things about being human. And so I'm just feeling really emotionally connected right now and grateful and for all of you so much and to be able to be in a space together and be able to be vulnerable and say, hey, this is, you know, what's I'm feeling, and getting feedback around that and knowing that we're all here kind of holding hands in the, like, proverbial living room. It's just, it's so beautiful. So thank you all for making the time, committing to this, being on this journey. I appreciate you all so very much. And if you have any questions about module 3, send them on over, shoot me an email. And I can almost guarantee you, I can't 100%, but I can almost guarantee you that if you begin this consciousness practice, meditation practice, begin watching your thoughts, you'll notice shifts in your life. You'll notice shifts in. So please do it. Please, please, please start this consciousness practice. It's not a negotiable if you really are trying to create the life that you want. It's fundamental. So you can skip over it and try to put band-aids on it, but it's not gonna go away. So consciousness and waking up in the moment, let's set that as our intention for the next couple weeks and dive into the reading again, Untethered Soul and Code of the Extraordinary Mind, both super awesome. And then there's a video in the module, Oprah interviewing Michael Singer, the author of The Untethered Soul. It's a really great interview. It's very inspiring. And then I also included in the resources some my favorite and most profound life-changing influences, like icons that have changed my life. So I put some links in there to their websites and some of their videos. So have fun. Dive into this stuff. You get to create your life, so this is all part of it. And if you have any feedback for me in any capacity, like likes, dislikes, suggestions, blah, 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 let me know, and I'm here. So, okay, any ending questions or thoughts before we bow out? Okay, all right, ladies, lots of love. Thank you so much for being here. I'm looking forward to seeing you on the next one.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Bye. Yeah, thank you. Bye. And thank you, newcomers, Kim and Cindy, for being here. I appreciate you hopping in and being willing to get your feet wet. Yay.